with his take on what this could mean for DOD's former Deputy Defense Secretary Rudy De Leon. He's currently on the Defense Policy Board and Senior Vice President of National Security and International Policy at the Center for American Progress. Rudy, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Sure. Glad to be on the show, Francis.
Secretary Gates is giving the president the pros and cons of more cuts. Do you read anything between the lines when you hear that?
Well, you know, it's hard to remember a time in Washington, D.C., and I've been here for 30 years, where as many big issues were all on the front burner at the same time. So I think what we heard from the secretary, who, you know, started his own program to look for efficiencies in the defense budget, that as you look at these numbers, and this is $400 billion over a substantial period, but as these budget negotiations between Congress and the executive branch continue, defense is likely to be there. So I think we heard from the secretary, it's got to be strategy driven.
The secretary, yeah, was very clear about that and saying we can do these cuts, but we're going to have to shrink the mission too. Was there a message there, or is that, or can we, do you think we can take the secretary at his word? I mean, that there's nothing below the surface there.
Well, what you know from, you know, longtime Pentagon budget analysts know that what drives the defense budget numbers is the size of the force. The size of the force structure, because that determines the military pay accounts on one hand, the kinds of equipment you need to buy on the other. And so, you know, it starts with how many people are wearing the uniform, and then how many missions are you asking them to do? Because you can't do more with less. You can't do more with fewer people. And so you've got to start with how big is the force going to be? And the logical question that goes with that is, what are the policies for the Pacific, where the U.S. presence in the international waters is very critical, to the Middle East, which is boiling over with political movements, to Afghanistan, where we're coming up with critical decisions on how long to keep the forces there, to Iraq, where we're, you know, 75% through the exit drawdown, but with critical decisions to be made on how many forces remain. So all of these things, and it's got to start with a strategy rather than a budget number.
That's actually where I was going to go next. Talking about the top line seems to be where a lot of this discussion has been focused. And my next question to you was going to be, do you think that's the right focus? Obviously, your comment there indicates that you're not sure that's where we should be.
Well, we've got to decide, where are we going to ask our troops to serve, and what are those missions going to look like? And that will drive things. And it may be that after the high op tempo of the last 10 years, particularly for our ground forces, that we want to take a deep breath and be a little bit more selective where we make our commitments and put our troops. But, you know, that's where that's the first level of question. Where do we want our military obligations, our national security policies to drive us, and then what kind of force do we need to do that?
The priority is obviously on the mission. Secretary Gates making his comments and what you're saying supports that. So where do we go if we're sitting and looking at the budget and looking for places that are potential sources of savings or cuts, however you want to call it, where are we looking? What should we be looking at?
Well, so we're back to, you know, what are the things that drive the costs in the Pentagon? And really from 2001 to the present, that's been a 10-year period that was substantially different from my era at the Pentagon and then at the Armed Services Committee before that, really 1987 to 2001, where we had budget controls that were mandated by the Congress. We had the end of the Cold War. We had balanced budget agreements, first a big agreement in 1990 between the first President Bush and Dick Gephardt, and then the Clinton initiatives in 93 and 95, and then the deal with Speaker Gingrich and President Clinton in 96, that all put us on a trajectory toward a balanced budget, with defense being part of that. So from 2001 to 2011, you know, the budgets have been dominated by Iraq and Afghanistan and supplemental appropriations. So first level, I think Secretary Gates has been trying to get the Pentagon budget a little bit more disciplined, and by, you know, sort of tightening the spigot that was going to the supplemental appropriations. And we're well underway on the exit from Iraq. Critical decisions ahead this summer on Afghanistan. But I think as you look at the budgets, and we all know we're in uncharted waters after Monday's rocket from the financial community about the debt that the U.S. is racking up, we're in uncharted waters in terms of needing a debate that prioritizes. The bulk of our resources have been in the Middle East for 10 years. Have we neglected the Pacific? Maybe less activity in Europe because our allies are committing less dollars to their own security. And then, of course, you know, problems with Mexico in terms of just dealing with drug cartels, things like that. So all of these considerations drive national security. So understanding what your policies are the starting point.
I want to talk, continuing my conversation with former Deputy Secretary of Defense Rudy De Leon, now with the Center for American Progress and a member of the Defense Policy Board. Rudy, you mentioned the Standard & Poor's announcement on Monday that their long-term outlook for the debt situation with the federal government, not good. They did not announce a reduction in our debt standing on Monday, but essentially it was a warning. If you don't straighten up your act, that's where you could be headed. This is even before we're to the debt ceiling argument with the same implications potentially. What does that mean to you as far as decisions that will be made, whether it's in Congress or in what the administration will ask for in areas like defense spending?
Well, I think what it tells us is the biggest issue for American national security in the future is dealing with our debt, dealing with the budget, and if not returning to a balanced budget of 11 years ago, at least starting to step forward and work on a plan that moves us in that direction. So certainly defense as the largest piece of discretionary spending has got to be part of that formula, but we heard the president speak last week and then budget spokespersons on the Hill talk about dealing with entitlement spending, which really does drive the federal budget. But all of these, from military pay to Medicare for our senior citizens who have worked a long life, those are all going to be roll up the sleeves and everyone's going to have to make trade-offs and compromises.
If we use the continuing resolution fight that we just went through as kind of a parallel of the defense budget, the discussion was by commentators who are consider themselves budget hawks was this $60 billion or whatever it turned out to be is really inconsequential compared to where we are overall. Are some of the things that people are talking about cutting, whether it's Secretary Gates or people on the Hill, are they really consequential when it comes to getting DOD to where they need to be in terms of helping with the overall budget picture, do you think? Or is that like what some folks were said about the CR, where it's really just kind of nibbling around the edges?
Well, I think we're in a different budget environment in terms of the Pentagon in 2011 than, let's say, we were in the early 1990s. Then Congress agreed we had to get serious on our deficits, but the Soviet Union was breaking apart, and so it was a time where we could reevaluate the size of our forces and really make the military services more focused on the adaptability of their missions rather than the long-term Cold War. So there definitely were savings to be had. I think the challenge facing DOD today will be to how does it get its cost structure, because it may have a cost problem more than a budget problem. How does it start to get its costs under control? The military personnel accounts are more and more dominated by healthcare costs, and so there have to be remedies there. Nothing can survive the kinds of dramatic increases that the healthcare budget is going through if you want to maintain benefits for the long term. So I think, you know, if we, as we said in the first round, if we start with what are the missions and strategies, then I think finding improvement on how we manage the personnel accounts was one of the major findings of the Congressional Commission on the QDR. And then how we continue to reap the improvements on the procurement side, both Undersecretary Ash Carter as the acquisitions czar, but also Senators Levin and McCain and their initiative last year designed on more transparency and focus on the procurement side. We've got to get real serious about the implementation of those kinds of reforms.
Rudy, there are always more questions than there is time to explore them in with you, and I'm grateful for you.